You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the Gospel of John and chapter 15. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in prayer. Our God and Father, we thank you and thank you. God, thank you. So do what you do. Help us, God. Spirit of God, it is your pleasure to bring to us, to put in front of us, to fill our heart with your wonderful, wonderful joy, your saving grace, all because of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you very much. Father, here we are. Thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. In our study at John chapter 15, verse 11, these things, and that goes all the way back to the chapter 15, 1 through 10, and even beyond. All these things have I spoken unto you in order that purpose, that my joy might remain, find a home. The word remain, remember the word remain, is the word abide that you read in verse 4 and etc. So you don't have to, you get the meaning of the word abide, remain, etc. And so when you come to chapter 15, verse 11, these things have I spoken to you that my joy might remain, where? In you, and that your joy might be full. Now, we shared that a little bit together to remind ourselves that God, you said it, it's my joy, so it belongs to the joy that belongs to the Lord himself. It isn't our joy, it's his joy. And he is saying looking for the disciples to understand that his joy is to find a home to remain, to find a home in them. And that as it finds a home in them, your joy, it becomes yours. Who lives in your house? The joy, God's joy does. And that joy is to be full. Now, it isn't full. It means full, complete, full, complete. Now, so we share together that joy, that's his joy, my joy. So God doesn't give partial joy, partial peace, partial power. It's God. God in his wonderful person, essence, and being, being God. So when God is being God, joy, it's all of God being that. It's not part of him. It's not a little bit, little drop that you give, a little joy to you and a little joy to you, and that you would be full, like here's the glass down here, and you could put so much in this glass, so much in something else, pitcher, you put them. The pitcher is going to hold more. That isn't true. All the joy using the glass, all the joy here is the same joy in fullness that would be in here. No difference. No difference. Size looks different, but it isn't. God's going to be the same. God's going to be the same in his most wonderful way. Now, and I need to understand that because that's what God is doing. And God is doing that so that we could understand his wonderful person. Now, in the process of that, we need to go in fullness to be able to experience by abiding in his love. And remember, we shared that in verse 9. As the Father had loved me, so have I loved you. continue in my love. Go to verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. My love. If you went to chapter 14, slide over, you aren't very far away. Chapter 14 and verse 27. Peace I leave with you. It's my peace, my joy, my love. It's what I have. And I meant to get a piece of the grapevine. Remember what you're looking at out there. John 14, if you abide in me, my word, John 15, I should say. It's the vine and the branch. And if you abide in me, verse 4, and I in you, the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except you abide in me. And I was going to get that, I think, it might have even been a little bunch of grapes left. And I was going to get that this morning, I forgot. So if you use your imagination, here's the grapes. And here's the grapes. Now, and the branch. You know all this. Here's the branch. In order to produce the grapes, if you would, in order to produce it, the branch doesn't have it. The branch can only produce the grapes if it abides. Where does everything come from that makes the grapes? From the vine. From the vine. There isn't anything in the branch. The branch is just a branch. And as long as it abides in the vine, in the source, if I go and you have a hose, and the hose isn't too long, you can put the hose onto a faucet and have water. And if you could get away with it, you could go to the gas station and screw the hose in and get gasoline, make believe. It's whatever's going to flow in the hose. The hose is just a hose. The branch is just a branch. That's all it is. So the branch has to work. It has to work and produce. That's what the branch does. God said, listen, my love in the branch, my peace in the branch, my joy in the branch is mine. It's not yours. So if you're looking to say, and your joy will be full, your peace will be mine, it isn't ours. So when it flows through the branch, it flows in its fullness, it flows in its fruitfulness, it flows freely, it doesn't skimp, it just flows. And all the branch doesn't control it. It either abides and stays connected, and it flows. It's God being God in a human heart, if the heart would let it be God. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so therefore, God, we're looking, and therefore, if we abide in you, our joy is going to be full. And you'll notice we did the title for good or bad on pleasure. And pleasure has to do with satisfaction. Pleasure. You're pleased. Pleasure. If you want to get a little more excited, we're going to go to the word delight. And the pleasure becomes delight. And it becomes experience. And satisfaction is growing and it gets excited. And when it gets excited, delight, it goes one more step, and that is the word joy. Joy is excited. Joy is excited. It's pleasure. And then you go forward, delight, and it results in joy. God is delighted in who he is and what he does. God is delighted, takes pleasure, delighted, and is joyous as to his nature, his being, his person. And he's delighted in joyous about what? Creating you. He created you for his marvelous person. He did. Not only did he create you before anything is created, including angels, God goes and he's created, and he is delighted and joyous. It is a joy. It is a pleasure to God. Pleasure, joy, pleasing. Rejoicing, the verb. And out of the root verb comes the word forgiveness, comes the word grace, comes the word joy. God. God is delighted in doing what he does and being who he is. It is a joy for God to do, to be who he is, and do what he does. And the human heart has to discover, by way of believing, that God is able to do exceeding abundant above all that we ask or think. And that as they abide in God's grace and enjoy God's wonderful forgiveness and enjoy God's and God's wonderful joy, he's delighted and he's excited about being God in your life. We shared it last time, remember, in Luke chapter 15, verse 7 and 10, etc. There is joy in heaven over one sinner that repents. Just one that repents. That really, there's joy in heaven. Wow. Not on earth. The earth doesn't know what's going on. But in heaven, it's delighted. They know. Humans don't know. Now, what are you helping us with, God? These believers are going to have, these believers in the church age, he's the head, the church is his body, a very unique position, and they're going to go, we can't get it this time, next time. God is going to give them the privilege, not only of being servants, slaves, but of being friends. God is going to call, be their friends. And you remember from just Near Eastern culture and kings and all of that, what do they have? They have what? Roman Empire, Roman system, Caesars. What do you have? You have the leaders and you have the council and you have everybody. And then you have a little small group, more or less, of persons that are special. And they sit with you. They can see you any time they want. They can come and when you're eating supper and come and sit down and do everything. They're friends. They can talk to you about anything. God, what have you done? I've made it possible. When you abide and my life is flowing through you, when that's flowing through you, you're going to enjoy as it produces its life, love, joy, peace, etc., fruit of the Spirit of God, as that happens, God's enjoying himself in you, and you're enjoying God being God. And you enjoy God being God. And in that enjoyment of God being God, you're going to produce much fruit because you're just abiding. You aren't doing anything. You aren't trying to help God be God. You aren't trying to play God. You're letting God be who he is. And you're thanking God for who he is. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so then they're going to go and we share together in verse 9, as the Father had loved me, so have I loved you. So God, remember each time the Lord Jesus Christ represents God the Father in all of his fullness. That's his purpose. The perfect humanity of Jesus Christ is to demonstrate and bring forth and to show, exhibit God's wonderful person who is invisible, invincible, infinite. How are we ever going to know you, God? God sent forth his Son so that we could actually see if you were there. The Lord Jesus said in John 14, as you know, verse 7 and 8, if you've seen me, you've what? You've seen the Father. But there you are. And they couldn't grasp that they, looking at Jesus, they're looking at God, who has no dimension. He's infinite. Looking at God. Oh. Now, God, you want all of that to flow. That's right. I want the human heart to be enjoying and understanding who I am and what I am in them. God, I am God. The Lord Jesus understood that God, the Father, was in him. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Now, so having said that and keeping that in mind, if you would, in the process, there was a little spider going up my Bible, and I tried to tell him, I looked at him and I said, don't go up my Bible like that. And that little spider just kept going. So I had to tell him that his time was up. Do you understand? His time was up, and I moved him. So if there was, you saw any movement, I gave you the explanation of what it was. So now, so having said that, keeping that in mind, God, so if we seek the Lord Jesus Christ with all our heart, God, you're going to do a wonderful thing. I am. Love, joy, peace. Now, hang on to that part. It's all God. It's God's love, God's peace, God's joy. That's what's in it. It's God. It's just God. Being God, that's what he is. All of God, all the time, at any time, always, consistently, forever. He is joyous. It's his makeup. God is God. Now, God, I need to get another piece of information that will help me. Now, God, I want to understand peace and love and joy. Now, we have our human words and our experiences that teach us war and peace. We don't really understand it in its purity. We just have a definition of such things, and love, and we use love, we share all that stuff together, and we use all those terms and words, peace and love and joy and et cetera, happiness, you want to be happy, happy, pursued, think of our declaration, pursue life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, to pursue it, to find it. Now, having said that, and by the way, that definition of happiness in the Declaration, if you would read Webster's 1800 dictionary and that's where they got it. And that's about having the goodness. The happiness is to find the goodness of God in your life, to say it simply. To find God. Now, having said that, God, we want to look at that. So just, I want to understand it, so that's why. And you told me in Isaiah 55, 8 through 11, you don't have to turn there, that your ways and your thoughts are higher than the heavens, so that there's no way to think out, understand, and put this together all by our lonesome. Nope, it's not going to happen. No matter how we cut the cookie, and we could read all 9 zillion books that are in the Library of Congress, it won't make any difference. You're never going to get it, because it's about God's wonderful person, being God. Ephesians, if you would, chapter 3. And in Ephesians chapter 3, would you note I'll go to verse 17 so we have a little context. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, that you may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height of the love that surrounds you, God, that is, and to know the love of Christ, which, and then I want to have it pop out of the page at me, which passes knowledge. There's no way on earth that you can understand that love. Do you understand? It passes your ability to understand it. So if you're trying to say, I'm going to understand. No, you're not. When you say you've got it, you know got it. All you can do is know that God is loving you. And you can experience it, and we are to experience it. We are to enjoy it, but we are not going to understand it. It passes your understanding. So if you when I understand, you're talking about God. If you're waiting to understand, it's never going to happen. Not going to happen. Not well. Let's do it again. Over, if you would, over to to Philippians, right next, not very far away. Over to Philippians, and God, would you tell us something again? Philippians, if I may, picking up, please, verse 6, context. Be careful, don't worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And when you're looking to God and trusting God and staying prayerfully, abiding, when you're abiding, what are you going to know? And the peace of God, verse 7, which passes, present tense, passes all understanding. Now you're waiting to understand God's peace. No, all you can do is live in it. That's all you can do. Abide. And when the branch abides, the love's in it, the peace is in it. Whose love? God's. Whose peace? God's. Can I grab it? No. I can only let it go and let it be with thanksgiving, with thanksgiving. And the peace of God, verse 7, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So God, what do you want me to do? I want you to believe. I want you to believe. That's what I want. I want you to abide. It's very simple. It isn't complicated. I want you to abide and rest and find your home, dwelling, remaining, abiding in me. You're going to look to me for your everything. You're going to be fully, wonderfully dependent, as I intended you to be, on my wonderful, wonderful person. So now, God, as that happens, and you want me to believe. And so you're going to outwork all of this. I am. Over to chapter 2 again, since you're there, right here. And recall, remember, keep in mind, and I'll read verse 12, so even though, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So it's something, it's a relation, the vine. The branch can't say to the apple tree, no, the branch has to stay in the grapevine. There's no other trees, there's no other branches, there's no other way to go. Let's talk to get a group of people who have a big discussion and a council, a big meeting to understand it. No, you aren't. We're going to pray and get it, and when we get it, we're going to go with it. No, you either got it or you don't. Either you're abiding or you aren't. That's all. What's there to say? Easy. You're either breathing now or you're not. Is that all right? Most of you. Isn't it? You're either breathing or you're not. We didn't have a big discussion on it. We don't have to have counsel. We don't have to have answers from politics or any other place. You already got it. Believe. Breathe. Abide. Now, in doing so, and work, you can't work any other one. So I need my family and friends, my job, my work, my home, my worries, my wants. You're all there. They're all there. But you're looking to stay here so that you can have, well, whose? You want to have a unique, wonderful relationship to your Creator and your Savior by abiding and having his wonderful benefits of why he even bothered making us, why he saves us, and why we're a delight to him and a pleasure to him, and there's joy in heaven when you get saved. And there is joy, joy, joy when you start living for Christ. Because it's your joy. You start enjoying being saved. How many people do you know that are saved that enjoy being saved? See, if I didn't say enjoy, I'm saved. I say, yeah, I'm a Christian. I didn't ask it. If I had the little word enjoy and I stopped you right there, are you enjoying being saved? Well, no, if you knew my family, if you knew my health, if you knew the pills don't work, you know, all the different things. Are you enjoying being saved? Wow. God says, listen, and as you work that out, because that's what you're doing. So when it isn't trying to work on my relation, no, just work this one out with God. The rest of it will all fall into place as God would have it. Now, and therefore, verse 13, for God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And that's what God wants. God wants to do what he does. It's good pleasure. Say, well, no. If he just knew my circumstances, you're going to work out your relationship. It's God's pleasure. It's God's pleasure to do what he's going to do in this, whatever you're facing. And we have to lock that in. Over, if you would, please. Over to James. James. And chapter 1. And in James chapter 1, what are you going to do in all of it, saying it simply? Chapter 1, James, verse 2. My brethren, remember James is looking at great persecution up in the front of the churches out working with all the stuff going on. And in the process, James, the servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad all over the place, greeting. My brethren, count it all, and there's your little word, joy. My joy. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. It isn't temptations, the trials and tests and troubles. No, it's the joy. Count it joy when you fall into diverse, all kinds of different temptations, trial, putting things to the test. Knowing what? Verse 3. This, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, bearing up under the load. Well, you would never bear up under the load because you don't even want to be under the load. But when you counted it joy, you hang in there differently. This isn't what I want. Hold it. I'm counting it, God. I'm abiding. And you're going to go and do and produce the fruit in my little heart for me to experience it, peace and joy and love. And you're going to do that and let that happen. Uh-huh, that's right. And in the trial, I'll keep reading. Verse 4. That let patience, bearing up under the load, have a perfect, complete, full work. Why? That you may be perfect, complete, entire, wanting nothing. See? You don't want anything. You have everything. But if you have everything, if you're a plumber or whatever you are, want to do, and you have a job to do, and you got all your tools, and you got all the stuff you need, and you go in, we got everything you need, and you go in the problem with the water or whatever it is, and you got all the stuff, the problem's the problem. But you've got everything that you need to what? To fix it. Isn't that comfort? You people like that. People give a problem and the workman comes in. He knows what he's doing. He has no problem. You're sweating there because you don't know how to stop the water and everything else. But the plumber doesn't have a problem. He just goes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and does what he does because he has the tools. You have the tools. You have a relationship to the vine that gives you his wonderful life, his love, his peace, his joy. And then you go and exercise it and count it all joy. What will it produce? A wonderful contentment. Not only contentment, a pleasure, satisfied. Not only a delighted joy. Count it all joy. Over, if you would, please, to 1 Peter. 1 Peter. And in chapter 1. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, may I pick up, please, in thought. I'll read a little bit in the light of what we just read in James. If I can, verse 6. 1 and 6, 1 Peter. Wherein you greatly rejoice, there's your little word, though now, for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, trials, and tests, and troubles. That purpose, the trial, the testing, the putting to the proof of your relationship to God, abiding in faith, your faith being much more precious than that of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom, verse 8, the Lord Jesus, whom, having not seen, you love. In whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice. And then you, God, you do it every time. You rejoice with joy, there's your word, unspeakable. It means you can't express it. There are no words that can come out of your mouth. There's no language you can use. Joy that's unexpressible. Peace that is beyond your understanding. Love, way excelling anything you could ever understand. Why? Because it's God. When you're looking for God, you're going to be God. Little G-O-G-O-D. And remember what we did 100 years ago, all those different. G, use your imagination, O-D. And then what you do, have a little piece of paper and write it down, G-O-D, and then put a little dot, right in the middle of the zero. That's you. That's always you, if you're saved. Right in the middle. Where are you at all times? In God, right in the middle. Makes a difference. Makes a difference. You could be falling off a cliff, fall out of the Empire State Building. That's pretty high. On your way down, you have no idea. Someone may be with a net or something, but maybe not. Bunch of whatever. No, you're looking to God, wouldn't you? Have you ever? You never fell out of a. I bet you never fell out of an Empire State Building. But if you did, and you're saved, that's what you do, isn't it? If you're about to drown, but God, see? Use whatever illustration you want. But God, I'm in the middle of you. That's right. So it doesn't matter. And here comes a great big killer 95-foot shark. Has a mouth as big as the hippopotamus. That's pretty big. A shark with a mouth of a hippopotamus. I got to tell you, I'm impressed with that shark. Huh. God, no, we're in the middle of you. Now, hang on to that. You know all these things. It's just real, just what it is. God, we need to understand why you said abide. Why you said it, without me you can do, chapter 15, verse 5, without me you can do nothing. Don't you understand? Nothing's going to happen. You want to be saved, you want to be Christian, you want everything. You can't have it without me. There's no way, shape, or form. Whatever arguments or reasoning or rationale you want to use, it won't work. It won't work. It won't work at all. So therefore, God, here we are looking to you, and God, you're going to give a constant, your experience, God, is a constant one with joy. You are constantly in possession, and in possession and disposition, your thinking is joyous. It's the natural product for us of a unique relationship to who you are. So therefore, God, in the light of that, now we're looking at that, and God, it seems, could it really be real? Yeah. Now, just so you can see, we have all this information and have a unique relationship after Calvary's cross. We have it all working for us. But you know, before that happened, God, I want to go back into yesterday in the Old Testament, into yesterday, when they didn't have, you hadn't even been crucified yet. They knew it, but they didn't do anything. Now, what was their thinking? Over, if you would, please, in your Bible, the Isaiah 65. Isaiah chapter 65. And note, God encouraged them all kinds of ways. I'm just going to give you a couple of things to just see it. They're inside there. If you live in the Old Testament, what we just talked about, they could experience and God encouraged them. They couldn't do it like you do. But boy, they certainly were encouraged that something like that was to be theirs in the future. Therefore, Isaiah 65, picking up, please, in the light of verse 17. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered, not come into mind. It won't even come into your thinking. So you're going to remember. No, you won't. No, you're not. It's all gone. All gone. Wiped away. Now, verse 18. But, be ye glad. That hasn't happened yet, a new heavens and a new earth. Revelation 21. No. Verse 18. But, be ye glad and rejoice evermore in that I create, for, behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy. Now the words that looking at, here's the word rejoicing. It means to round about, to be excited, exuberant, exalting Christ doing that. And that's that word. And then this, each are alternating. And then here's the one to rejoice, glad, that's the word glad. Then you got the word rejoice. And to be able to go and be around, to move round and round and round in a circle, to be leaping for joy, leaping, getting all excited. If you've seen people get excited in Israel, they get all excited, jumping up and down. That's it. Hang on to that. Now, I'll read verse 18 again. So, be ye glad and rejoice forever. In that which I create, and behold, I create Jerusalem, a wonderful rejoicing, and her people a joy. Now, verse 19, I will rejoice, that's God, in Jerusalem, and joy, there's your two verbs, redone, verse 18 to verse 19, I'm going to leap for joy. I will rejoice in Jerusalem, and my joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. God, your joy. So here's my Lord Jesus, here's yours, our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to joy. It is my joy to create you. My joy to create a new Jerusalem. My joy, you're my joy. How much do you appreciate that? Now I just transferred it from Isaiah to the New Testament to us. God said, I delight in being your God. And do you know how hard that is to find in our world? Too bad. Wow. Now, so having said that a little bit, and keeping that in mind, God's wonderful, wonderful rejoicing, his joy in his most wonderful way. Now, over if in the light a little bit we've got, what can we do? Over, if you would, to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. I hope you got a little bit. I'm just spending a little more time before I hit friends, which is exciting. I think friends are. I mean, who does God call friends? Not many. Not many. No, sir. So to be a friend of God, whew, that's pretty good. I got to tell you. I think that's neat. And you'll see it come together. Oh, what did I just say? Oh, yeah. First Thessalonians, and if I can, in chapter 1, First Thessalonians, and the member there under great persecution, like in Jerusalem, Corinth, down in southern Greece, isn't got that problem. But Thessalonians in northern Greece, they have that problem. Persecution up here. They got it. So therefore, they hear the gospel comes to them, chapter 1, verse 5. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sakes. Now, so what the gospel, the good news, was in the great dynamite. There's not a wishy-washy anything about this message. And the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, is going to deliver it, so it isn't coming from a human system. And it's going to have much assurance. Therefore, verse 6, and when they got saved with much assurance, verse 6, and you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, that's how they got saved, with joy of the Holy Ghost. And you know, if you were totally lost like in a London fog, little boy lost in the London fog, the little boy didn't care because he just wandered around. He didn't understand he was lost. The mother did. And the mother went out to find him. Because the little boy was lost. And it was her joy. It was her joy to spot him and save him. To save him from being lost. God looked out and saw you. And saved you. You were lost. Dead in trespasses and sin. And God looked out and found you. And you got saved. Maybe. Got saved. Wow. Joy. The mother. It's joy. Little boy. But the mother. It's her son. That's my son, the father said. The Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross. What did he die for? For you, for all humans that would believe. He paid for the sin of the world so that they could believe and be forgiven. And be forgiven. Part of the word joy. In God's grace. Don't deserve one drop of it. But God, you did it. And now we add the word, connect them all. God, you rejoice, the root verb. In order that you might joy, privilege, pleasure, delight, joy. God is delighted to be God and is joyous to be God. Therefore, chapter 5. And chapter 5. Here's the command, present tense, chapter 5. Picking up if I can. Directly, there's three commands. Just here's one of them. Well, you want to know what God's will is for your life today? Get this one. And it isn't very hard. Verse 16, there's your little word, joy. Rejoice. That's a command. Present tense. You want God's will? What is God's will? Right now, it isn't what you eat. God's will is for you to rejoice, to be joyous. He's joyous. Now, I know I'll have to give you a big cup of some special juice to get you full of joy. But that's what it's about. I know it's hard, because we're so locked up and can't, God, we've got to get. So it's going to take heaven. I know it is. Going to take God, absent from the body, present with you. It's the only way we're going to get this. But in the meantime, it's there. And whether anyone wants it or not, and rejoice in the Lord evermore. So what day, what time tonight can you stop rejoicing? You thinking? How about next week? Could you stop rejoicing on next Tuesday? God, when did you say you didn't change anything? No, I didn't. I told you to do it. Just keep abiding and keep doing it. When do you stop abiding? You don't. Pain, headache, heartache, easy, hard, much, little, just keep abiding. And you're growing. And the fruit's going to come. Wow. Wow. Now, God, to do it, over to Romans in closing. I know you're here, you're here, but it's the easiest and quickest to get you to see it. Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14, picking up, please, in verse 17 directly. For the kingdom of God is not, N-O-T, food or drink, but righteousness and peace. And what's about? What is it about when we're enjoying your wonderful kingship and joy in the Holy Ghost? Because it's God's joy. The Spirit of God, the fruit, think of Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. The Spirit of God, it's just joy. How can you be with God and not enjoy a person who's joyous? God is. Chapter 15, verse 13. Chapter 15, verse 13. Now, the God of hope fill you. Remember the word fill, be filled with the Spirit, joy of God. The God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Why? In order that you may abound. Bound where? Abound, have overflow, what? In hope, full of hope, expectation, anticipation. Through, how so? By means of the power, the dynamite, the dynamic of the Holy Ghost. God, how can it ever happen? Abide, I'll make it happen. Believe, I'll make it happen. But Lord, give yourself a little space. Give God some elbow room in your life. Elbow room. Don't squash him in like this. God, you have this many seconds to do it. Don't do that. You'll never get there. Never get there. You just, God, here we are. Here we are. Do with us. Do to us, in us, for us, that which produces your joy in our life. Does that come out all right? Our Father and God, we thank you for your grace and kindness, and we look to you to help us. God, thank you, thank you, thank you very, very much. Thank you. We owe you, God. I owe you for sure. So, help us. And for those who know not you as their Lord and Savior, God, convict, convince them that they would receive you as their Lord and Savior. God, to know the forgiveness of sins, to know the joy of being forgiven. God, what a thing it is to be forgiven. There's no more excitement, no more awesome delight, joy. My sins are washed away. God, thank you very, very much. Help us. In Christ's name, amen.